Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Joe. Thank you for that special. One more announcement. We have some CDs of the Preachers Conference, Brother Archie Davis, Brother Murphy, Brother Angel, in the back there. They're all free. If you maybe did not get to go to the conference, didn't get to listen to one, Nathaniel put out some of these CDs that y'all can have and just take one. There's about five or six copies back there, so I recommend probably not taking two or three a person. Just take one per family if you can, and kind of spread that out. But just a reminder back there, if you want to listen to the Preachers Conference, I encourage that. Those men are men of God, and they really did preach good during Preachers Conference, and they gave us something special, and they took time out of their time to come here and to away from some of their, Brother Angel was away from his wife and them, and so, you know, just hearing those men, it gives you refresh, gives you a cool drink of water, just hearing from them. And I'm not saying that pastor's dry, I'm not saying that at all, okay? He'll be on my back if I ever do anything like that, so. No, but it's good. Get you a CD back there if you can, if you are able to. Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah, please. The book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 38. I don't know if some of y'all have seen Pastor and my brother with their motorcycles, and my dad with his gray hair is all poofed up. I almost texted him and said, man, you look like Pokemon or someone. But I already know he probably wouldn't answer me back. So, but no, they're having a good time. They're traveling up to Colorado. Just took a trip with Taylor on their motorcycles, having a good time, and circling their way back around towards us. And they stopped in a place called Aspen, and man, they said it was super expensive. Taylor said he had a $15 meal, just a burger was $15 there. So, you know how it is in those Democratic states, but no. Anyways, turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 38, please. Isaiah chapter 38, we'll read verses 1 through 6. It says there, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Verse 6, it says, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Let's pray before we begin tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for all the many blessings you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for the people who come out on a Wednesday night, Lord God, even though it's hot and they're tired from work and all the many things that they could be doing tonight, Lord, but they spend it in church. Thank you, Lord, for faithful members. Thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings you've given to us each and every day. Lord God, I ask and I pray that you would help this message to be a help and a blessing to the people in this building. Thank you, Lord. Help the people here tonight, Lord God, to hear from you and not from me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the book of Isaiah here, it talks about, in chapter 38, in the first six verses, it talks about Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, it also talks about it back in beginning of the Old Testament about Hezekiah and his life. And Hezekiah was a righteous man. Hezekiah was a godly man. Hezekiah loved the Lord, and he walked with God, and he had those times with God, and he loved God. But I just want to be your friend tonight and kind of help you out tonight. And something that the Lord has put upon my heart that I could share with you tonight. And that is, I remember I was a Bible college student in college, And there were many times I loved listening to preaching of many great men and, many John R. Rice or Harold Seitler or even Pastor. I turn on the podcast sometimes and listen to him while I'm at work or whatever I'm doing. But I love listening to those guys. I love listening to Brother Treiber out in California on his podcast and all those many, many men who love the Lord and they preach, and I love to hear it. But one night while I was at work, I was listening to a message. Brother Hiles was preaching, and while he was preaching, he was talking to a college student. And the college student came to him and said, "You know, Brother Hiles, in Romans 8 and verse 28, it says that we know that all things work together for them that are together for good, to them that love God, and to them that are called according to his purpose." And he said, "You know, Brother Hiles, I'm having a rough time. It's not always good. I'm not having a good time though." And that verse, it says that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I love God, but all things aren't working together for good. All things aren't. I'm seeing something my way, but I'm not looking at it God's way. I'm in a little bit of a fix. I'm thinking like, what works together for good? I'm trying to figure it out here, Brother Hiles. And Brother Hiles looked at him, and these words really spoke to me as a college student. And as I was listening to that message, was Brother Hiles said these words, and you can use this as a sermon title, you can use Hezekiah as a sermon title, whatever you'd like. But he said, "You don't know what's good for you. Only God knows what's good for you." And those words, I paused the message. I remember that night as I was at work, I paused the message and I just stopped and I said, "Wow, that really hits home." You know, sometimes we look at some certain situation and it looks like it's going the wrong way and it looks like it's twisting down a bad path. But in God's eyes, it may not be. In God's eyes, he's using the bad maybe for something good. And Brother Hiles told that college student, "You know, just because you think that you're in college and something's going wrong, maybe you don't have finances, maybe you don't have a job, maybe you're struggling with your car, maybe you've got a broken relationship, maybe you've got something like that, but you don't know what's good for you. God knows what's good for you." And Hezekiah here, he is in his last days of facing death, and Isaiah the prophet comes to Hezekiah, and he tells them, "Get your house in order, because you're going to die." And he says, "You're going to die, Hezekiah." But Hezekiah says, "What? What do you mean? God, why are you taking my life away from me?" But Hezekiah didn't know what was good for him. Only God knew what was good for him. There may be someone in here tonight. Maybe you've lost a child. Maybe you've lost, maybe you mothers have lost a baby in the womb. Maybe you've been through something. You've lost a grandfather or someone like that. But you don't know what's good for them. God knows what's good for them. There's a reason why God took them home. There's a reason why God may take a child or God may take someone, and you may see, well, it's not working out for my good, and I'm all crazy, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm bouncing off the walls, and it's just mind-boggling at how God would do that to me. Well, God knows what's good for that child. God knows what's good for you. Maybe he's trying to test you. Maybe he's putting you through a hard time so that you'll turn your face to him. Maybe he was doing that to Hezekiah. I don't know. Maybe. But God knew what was good for Hezekiah. God gave Isaiah the prophet this, and he told Hezekiah, "Get thy house in order, because you are going to die and not live." And I just want to encourage you tonight that you may be facing a trial, you may be facing a burden, you may be facing something in your life or in your heart, in your private life, or in something at work. It doesn't matter what you're facing. God knows what you're facing. God knows. God means it for good. He's maybe putting you through a trial. He may be putting a speed bump in your way to test you. He may be doing that. God put many tests in the Bible throughout all Christian life. He put a test through Joseph and Peter and all these people. He put tests in their life. And as I think, I talk to my coworkers about God, and I tell them all the time that God doesn't make robots. God makes human beings who willingly want to choose God. I mean, what would a world be like if we all just flip the switch and we all just worship God? God doesn't want that. God wants your whole heart. God wants your whole soul. God wants your whole mind. He doesn't want you to flip a switch on Tuesday, flip it off Wednesday. He wants you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He wants your whole heart every single day of your life. He wants it in the mornings. He wants it in the noontime. He wants it in the evening time. He wants it every single day of your life. Don't be a Christian who's on and off Christian. Or a fake. Maybe you come to church, you put on a show, but you're another thing at work. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know why God was going to kill Hezekiah. I don't know why. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But God knew what was good for King Hezekiah. God knew what was good for Hezekiah. He knew what was good for Hezekiah, and he knows what is good for you. You may be here tonight saying, oh, I've got this problem. Oh, I've got that problem. Oh, I got to deal with that issue. Oh, I got to go to work again. Oh, I got to go face that problem again. Oh, I got to face the IRS every year. All of us do. But you don't know. God could be working those bad things for his good. He could be using those bad things for his good. And when he looks at Hezekiah and he puts this in his life and he tells Isaiah, you need to go tell Hezekiah. And he tells Hezekiah, and Hezekiah says, what, God? I didn't do anything wrong. I've been right. I've been pure. I've walked with you. I've lived for you. I've done what's right, God. And he turned his face to the wall and he prayed to God. And he said, God, what is happening here? Why are you taking my life? See, Hezekiah didn't know what was good for him, but he knew in his heart that he knew that God knew what was good for him. And that's why he prayed. If Hezekiah would have said, all right, Isaiah, whatever you say, and then he died. But he never would have said, you know what, God? You know what's good for me. But I'm just going to ask if you will spare my life. And tonight, I would give you a couple points here tonight to how I can help you, just like through the life of Hezekiah, how I can help you through your trials, how I can help you through those infirmities in life. Every single day of your life, every single day, people are battled with the flesh. Every single day, people are battled with the world. Every single day, Christians battle with that prayer. Every single day, Christians have been battled with walking with God. And I'll tell you this, Hezekiah, when Isaiah told Hezekiah that he would be sick, Hezekiah already had that walk with God. You see, sometimes we get out of whack, and when good times are going good, we like to say, oh, I've got it all good, and I'm not going to read my Bible today. I'm not going to walk with God today. I'm not going to pray to God today. I don't need God today. I've got it all good. My bills are paid for. My car is running fine. My family's doing great. And I got it all good. But there might come a day where someone may knock on your door. And may knock on your door just like Isaiah did. The Bible says, boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know if your child could fall sick. You don't know. Hezekiah didn't know that Isaiah was going to knock on his door and say, hey, get ready, get your house in order because you're going to die. He didn't know that. But while he was in the good of his life, he still walked with God. Sometimes even in the bad times of life, we don't even look to God. But right after he told him that you're going to die, what did Hezekiah do? He got on his knees and he prayed to God. He put God first. I want to give you some points here on what Hezekiah did whenever he heard he was going to die. Just a couple points here to help you. Number one, the first thing that Hezekiah did was he set his house in order. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. In 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. See, God has an order for everything. God has an order for your family. God has an order for your work. God has order. Just like he made and created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, there was an order. There was a process. It wasn't just scatterbrained. It wasn't just all over the place. There was a plan. And he said, set your house in order. But Hezekiah's house was in order. And how was that? It was because he was already walking with God. And there might come a time where you may be on your deathbed. You may be like Hezekiah, and someone will say, maybe you're going to die, you're on your deathbed or something like that. But make sure that when you're on there, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know what next year will bring. You don't know what's going to happen to your life in the future. So make sure that your house is in order. Make sure that your kids are still going to church. Make sure that you're still going to church. Make sure that you're still reading your Bible. Make sure that your house is in order. Your house is in order. There's three things that you can keep your house in order. Number one is God. The first thing is God. Keep your house in order by worshiping God, by letting God walk, having that walk and that relationship with God. Men ought to lead in the walk and relationship with God in their home. They ought to be the leaders of that. Reading, I remember we would have family time in our house, and we would come in for dinner, and right after dinner, my dad would pull out a devotional book, and we'd read about 15 minutes, read a chapter or verse, and he'd ask us what this verse means, and we would talk about the Bible. And he did that was because he was trying to instill in us, he was trying to keep his house in order, because he knows the day's coming when he passes away, that he's got to pass that mantle to us. And he's keeping his house in order. He's trying to please God. He's putting God first. Because when you put God first, that's the order it should be. It's always God first. No, it's not your money. No, it's not your friends. No, it's not your work. It's none of that. You've got to put God first. The God who created you should be first. The God who made the Bible, the God who created this whole entire earth, the God who put the air in that you can breathe every day, he should be first and preeminent in your life. And Hezekiah, God was first in his life. His house was in order. Set your house in order. So number one, you can have God. Number one is God. And you set your house in order by first prioritizing God. Number two is your family. It should go God and then family. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. God and then family. I think of family dinner time. You know, whatever you have in your household, whatever you have every day, Monday through Friday, I think that every Christian, every home should have a time where all of the siblings get together and mom and dad get together, no matter how old you are or what you are, and sit down and talk. Have a conversation. Have a game night. Have something. Play games. Go out and play sports or do whatever you want to do. Watch a movie or something. I don't know. Do something together. But make sure that your house is in order by putting God first and then your family second. Listen, man, if you're going to work from 7 a.m. in the morning and you're coming home at midnight, you're putting your family last. There's no time for God in that span of time. I'm all for working hard. I'm all for going to work and putting all your effort into work. I'm all for that. But if you put your work or you put your money in front of your family, your house is not in order. Amen. Your house is not in order. Hezekiah's house was in order was because he put God first and then the family second. It's always God first and then your family. I remember several times me and Allie would go out on date night and we would go to a restaurant and we would be there and we would be talking away. Put our phones down and we just talk, converse with each other. And I could look at the table across from me and I could look at the table across here and there's just family after family and four or five people, even mom and dad and everyone, are just staring at their phones. There's no conversing. There's no love. There's no order in their house. They're just, oh, let's get on our phones and let's not talk to each other. Listen, parents. You don't know what it means to your child when you just get to talk to them. When you just spend time with them. Just love them. Teach them. Go. Teach them how to shoot a gun. You know, you dads, you help your your boys or your mother and your daughters. Teach your daughters how to cook a meal or clean the house or something. Have a time of family time. Have that time where you can do something with your kids or you can do something with your mom and dad. Have that time where you can all come together because you're putting your house in order. There's an order, like all things, right? Is it all things or none? Let everything be done decently and in order. God first, family second, and then thirdly is your work, I believe, is your work. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:6, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Just like that little ant, every single day in the summer, it strives away at work. Now, I'm not talking about, like I said before, working so much that you don't have time for your family. But I'm so thankful that there's men who still get up every morning, early in the mornings, and they go to work and they sacrifice for their family. They do that, they leave their family, and they go out because life's not all about money. But I believe that everyone has to have some sort of income in order to live. That's just how it is. We have to have money. Everyone works or gets some kind of income in order to live. You have to have that. But don't put work in front of your family. Don't put that money in front of God. Don't get it out of whack. Don't get your house out of order. Be like Hezekiah. Put your house in order. Set it in a perfectly timed order because that's how God wants it to be. That's how God will bless you. Listen, if you're out working all 24/7, every 7 days a week, you have no time for your family or kids, your kids are going to leave you when you're older. They're not going to come to you when you need them. They're going to be gone away just like that. They're not going to come to you. Don't let your house get out of whack and out of order. But I'm all for men who get up, and I'm so thankful to men who get up and they work. And they work and they come home to their family and they see their family and they provide so that you can have water, running water in the house, and you can have that car, and you can have so that it can get you to church, and you have all those things. And men who do that, that's good. Working hard is good. And ladies, even ladies who stay at home, and I'm so thankful for my wife even who stays at home, and many of you ladies in here stay at home and they cook that meal, or they put the dishes in the dishwasher, they fold the laundry. Man, whew, I hate folding laundry. Folding laundry is one of the worst things, man. I could do it. I'll do anything. Literally anything but just fold the laundry. Oh man, just throw it in a pile and throw it in the closet and I'll get what I want later. But no, that's not putting your house in order. That's not having something in order. But I'm so thankful for the ladies who do that. The ladies who come to church and they show how a lady ought to act, how a lady ought to be in public, how a lady ought to dress, or how a lady ought to how she should talk. All those things are putting your house in order and doing those things, but it requires work. Parents, it requires work for your kids. And I know I only have one little daughter right now, and I'm not the most experienced in this, but Pastor will even say that it requires work to help your kids. It requires work when you've worked that long week of work and your kid wants to spend time with you. But then you say, oh, no, I'm going to take a nap and I'm not going to do this. Listen, don't do that. Let your kids spend time with your family. Spend time. Don't let work be put in the place of your family. If that job is keeping you from your family, if that job is keeping you from serving God, or if that girl is keeping you from being with your family or from serving God, get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Ask God for forgiveness and get it out of your life. God loves to forgive people. He loves it. But you've got to ask for forgiveness. You've got to be the one to get on your knees and say, God, I am a sinner. I deserve hell. I don't deserve anything in this life. I deserve to go to the lowest parts of hell and die there forever because I've broken your commandments. I've done wrong. You've done good. And God knows what I need. Not, I don't know what I need. God knows what I need. Just like God knew how Hezekiah, what he needed. God knows what you need tonight. You may say, oh, but I've got this. God knows what you need. God may have put it there for a purpose, just like he put this roadblock in Hezekiah's life. So number one, he set his house in order. How did he set his house in order? By putting God first, family second, work last. Number two, he got alone with God. In verse 2 there it says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Hezekiah here, after he came and he said, set thy house in order, the first thing that he ever did was to set his house in order, was to go and to get alone with God. No, he didn't go out in public somewhere and pray. No, he didn't preach a message. No, he didn't do that. But he got in a place where he put his face towards a wall and he talked to God. He talked to God. He got alone with God. How many, just get alone with God sometimes. Just get in the closet, in the prayer closet. Get somewhere, get in your bedroom, get in your car, get wherever you can and get alone with God. Out in the woods, it doesn't matter. Walk with God, talk with God. But Hezekiah had that. He was putting his house in order. He was setting his house in order by firstly going to God. You see, God, he knew that God held Hezekiah's life in his hands. He knew that God was the one who gave him breath. He knew that God was the one who loved him so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. He knew that God, that was the God that loved him and that he needed to get alone with him and just talk with him. When was the last time you got alone with God? When was the last time you got on your knees? And it says there in verse 3, at the end of the verse, and Hezekiah wept sore. He wept sore. Hezekiah was down on his knees and he was begging God, saying, God, I don't know why you are trying to kill me. I don't know why I am dying. I don't know why you're doing this. But God, I don't even know what to say. I don't even have any words to tell you. I am the lowest of low, and I don't even deserve to even talk to a God like you. I don't even deserve to even have a prayer time with God. I don't deserve that. God could have just said, nope, sorry, you're all going to hell. I hate you. You all rejected me. But no, he didn't do that, did he? He didn't do that for Hezekiah. Because Hezekiah got alone with God, and he was putting his house in order. And he got alone with God, and he turned his face to the wall, and he just cried, and he wept, and it was sore. And he just said, God, I don't know what to say, but I am in the prime of my life. I am in this valley, and I don't know. I have done right in your eyes. I have done no wickedness. I have done no wrong, God. Why are you taking my life away from me? I don't know. Maybe God sent Isaiah to maybe get Hezekiah alone with him, just to talk with him. Maybe God's doing that to you tonight. Maybe God's sending someone along the way. God's saying, hey, maybe he put that trial there. Maybe he put that death in your life to maybe get you to wake up and say, you are God. To get alone with God sometimes. Maybe God put that in your way so that you could draw closer to him. Maybe God put that in your way so you could get back into church and start living for what's right. Start doing what's right. Start being a good testimony and going soul winning and all that stuff. Maybe God does that because you don't know what's good for you. God knows what's good for you. And I can't emphasize that enough. Yes, we know to read our Bible. Yes, we know this. But when things come in our life that are so beyond us that we cannot even imagine, like death, every person faces death. There is not one person except for Jesus Christ who can conquer death. For the wages of sin is death. Every single person has sinned in this room. And because we have sinned, we deserve death. And every single person will have death in their life. But Isaiah said, hey, set your house in order, Hezekiah, because there's coming a day when you'll die. And maybe God's saying, hey, set your house in order. There's coming a day when you're going to die. You need to set your house in order right now. Don't do it on your deathbed. Don't do it when it's too late. Don't do it when you hear the doctor say you have cancer. Don't do it too late when that trial comes in your life. Don't do it too late. Do it right now. Walk with God now. Don't wait until that time comes when he says, set your house in order. Oh, wait, it's not in order. And your kids start falling away into the world. Or your mind goes a different way where it's not supposed to. Or something happens that you didn't set your house in order. And just because you sin, it doesn't just affect you. Your sin affects everyone else. And sometimes good things happen to bad people because sometimes the devil, and I've heard this quote from a preacher before, and it's not from me, so, but he said that sometimes you're strapping bombs to yourself, the devil's strapping bombs to you, and everything's going smoothly, and then all of a sudden he presses that button, and it just decimates more and more people. See, sometimes maybe sin isn't revealed right now is because the devil is trying to get you to get more people to go down with you. You see, if a pastor were of a church were to sin, it would affect the whole entire church. It would affect the whole entire family. It would affect everybody that is around him, his friends, everyone. And the same goes with you. If you were to sin today, it doesn't just affect you. It affects your kids. It affects your loved ones. It affects anyone. It affects a lot of people around you, your coworkers. It can affect those people. So set your house in order today. Start today and say, God, I want to set my house in order because I know there's coming a day where I have to die. I have to face death, and I don't want my house to be utter chaos when I die. So set your house in order. And Hezekiah got alone with God because he was setting his house in order. And it says there that Hezekiah wept. He wept. I know there's a lot of men nowadays that say, oh man, real men don't cry. Real men don't do that, which is good. You know, you are a man, yeah. But when was the last time you cried for a bus kid? Those kids that walk in here and they sit on the second pew every Sunday morning. And when was the last time you prayed for them and maybe cried for them? Maybe you said, you know, just like the kids in Chicago. And I look at their houses and look at their beds and they're just nasty. They don't have any sheets on their beds and they don't have any AC and they don't have any heat in their place. And they can barely even make rent. They've got to go out and scrounge every stinking change and their doors are falling off the hinges and falling on their little kids. You know, they don't have a lot of that. But that's but that's what I'm trying to say here is that get your house in order. Get your house in order. When was the last time you wept for someone? Maybe you prayed for someone and you just wept and said, God, I don't know how to pray for this. I don't know how to handle this situation. But you do. And then you just leave it at that. You know, sometimes we like, as Christians, we like to choose God as being our bank. And sometimes we say, oh, God, I need this. I need this. I need this. God, I need this day. And you go, and I'm not saying that if you need something, it's wrong. But if it's an every single day thing and every other week, you just go and you talk to God because you need something or you want something, That's not a walk with God. Maybe you say, "Oh, I listen to Christian music in the mornings. That's my walk with God." No, that's not a walk with God. If me and Brother Jeremy were having a conversation, and I stopped it right there and never ever talked to him again, but I listened to him talk on a phone, let's say I recorded him and listened to him, is that a conversation? No. I have to converse. Sometimes it's good to just get out sometimes and just walk and talk with God. When you're at work, when you're doing things, you could just say, "God, I love you. Thank you for making my hands that I can do this work today." That's a true walk with God, and you read from His Word. That's a true walk with God when you pray, when you really truly want God, you want those things to speak to you. If you want God to speak to you, you better walk with God. You better talk with Him. If I have a conversation with somebody, you listen and you talk, and it's a two-way street. So many times we have God talking and telling, "Do this, do that, go this way, go that way," and you're not even listening. Set your house in order. Because number three, Hezekiah wept sore or bitterly. He wept so intensely that he could probably not even get out the words that were in his mouth. And at the end of that, verse 5 and 6, it says there that God tells Isaiah to go tell Hezekiah that he's heard his prayer. Listen, Christian, today, God hears your prayers. God hears every single time that you get on your knees and you talk to Him. God hears you. I know that you can't see God with your own eyes. I know that you can't, but it takes faith, and you have to believe that God is real. God hears your prayers. And Hezekiah, when he lived here, the Bible wasn't written. There was there was Isaiah there, a prophet, but he had faith. Just like Noah when he built the ark. I mean, if some crazy man was coming to me saying, "Hey, it's going to rain in this amount of time, and you need to get and build this ark, this size, and this way," I look at him like he's a crazy man. Right. But he had faith. He had faith. He knew that God was real. Because when he knew that God was real, he looked at the wall and he wept and said, "God, please help me set my house in order. I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. I believe this, that Hezekiah still would have done right, even if God would have taken his life. And even if God were to take someone's life, God is still good. God is still right. Even if God were to take my life tomorrow, God is still good. God is still on the throne. God still loves you. God still wants good things to happen. But Hezekiah wept sore. When was the last time you wept for somebody? When was the last time you talked to God and you couldn't even get out the words to God because He's so almighty and so powerful? You know, sometimes we get so high on our horse that we don't want to come down to where we really are at. Listen, we're as grasshoppers in the eyes of God. Grasshoppers, this big, that's what you are in the eyes of God. But don't use God as an excuse to say, "I need this." Talk to God. Don't just say, "God, I'm coming to you with the..." Yes, you should bring your needs to God. Yes, you should bring those burdens to God. Yes, you should do that. But if that's all you do, and you just, if I came up to Brother Gonzalez and all I did was ask him for money, which that would be nice. No, he said no, yeah. But if all I did was knock on his door and said, "Hey, I need this, hey, I need that," and never ever talk to him, there would be nothing there. And that's how God feels with us sometimes. We always go to God for this need, and we go to Him for this trouble, and we go to Him for that, but we never stop and say, "You know what, God? You're actually pretty good." Let's see here. I've got breath. I'm living. I've got ears to hear. I've got eyes to see. I've got feet to walk. I've got it all. I look around and I see other people, and I see even bus kids, and I even see my my boss at work, and he's an older guy, but he works, and he works hard. But I know he's hurting. He's got back pains and stuff. And I look at someone like that, or look at someone who's I remember being at First Baptist Church of Hammond, and an elderly lady walked in, and she walked in on her walker, and, you know, back was like that, and her daughter was helping her. And she walked in on the walker, and she went and sat down. And we were sitting there listening. And then during the song service, she tried her hardest, and she stood up for the song service. And then she sat back down. And then you know how it goes, song service again. She tried her hardest and stood up for the song service. I look at people like that, and I say, I don't have anything to complain about. I don't have anything to curse God for. I don't have anything. And the same would go for almost every single person that's building. Yes, you've been through problems. Yes, you may have lost something here or there. But God has been good to you. If the scale were to weigh the good on this side and the bad on this side, the scale would go through the earth, because the goodness of God is so much greater than the bad in your life. And some of us, we always just, God, I want. God, I need. God, please. God, do this. God, do this. I need that. And that's great. You should do that. But if that's your only walk with God, is you're bringing your needs and your wants, and you're like, oh, just do this for me, and it's all about me, and how much I can put in my barrel, and how much people can look at my barrel, and I'll sit on my barrel, and that's all I wanna be, and I don't wanna share what's in my barrel, and I don't wanna do that. No. God knows what's good for you. God wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want you, excuse me, He doesn't want you to go astray from Him. He wants you to have a relationship with Him, talk with Him, conversing with God. It's not just, oh God, I need you Monday, but Tuesday, you get paid, you get a good paycheck, and you pay all your bills off, and then you say, oh, I don't think I need God today. I'm doing it pretty good today. No, you don't know what's coming tomorrow. Hezekiah didn't know that Isaiah was going to knock on his door and tell him that put your house in order, for you're going to die. I mean, someone knocked in your house, and a prophet came to your house and said, hey, put your house in order, you're going to die. Would your house be in order already? Would you already have God first? Would you already have your family second? Would you already have that work last and yourself? J-O-Y, Jesus first, other second, yourself last. Would you have your house in order if something were to come into your life, maybe even to take your life away? Would your kids have something to say, you know what, Dad was a godly man, and I saw the blessings of God on his life, and I want that. Not that, My dad was, he was the neighborhood drunk, or my dad was, or my mom was. Who knows what is going through their mind? My dad was, my mom was this, or my dad was this, and it could be bad, and you don't want that for your family, moms and dads. You don't want that for your children. You want to be a good, godly example, because in the days Hezekiah was sick, you may be sick unto death, and your house needs to be in order. Do all things decently and in order. Don't let your house get out of order. Don't let your life get out of order. Don't let things in your life get out of whack. Don't put that first. Walk with God. Talk with God. Learn from God. Do things with God. Just when you're out walking, whatever you're doing, talk with God. Say, God, how are you doing today? I love doing that. Now, I'm not saying I'm someone spiritual that does it all the time, and I'm God and Jesus put together. I'm not saying that I'm like that, but I love doing those times where I can just talk with God. Because it's in those times where God will just converse with me. And that love and that bond goes stronger and stronger each and every day. You know why I do it? Because I'm putting my house in order, just like Hezekiah did. He's putting God first. He turned his face to a wall. He didn't turn to some man. He didn't turn back to Isaiah and say, What are you talking about? I'm not dying. What, you don't even mean anything to me. He didn't do that. No. He went and he turned his face to the wall and he said, God. He talked with God, the one and the creator of it all. He talked with the God who knows what's good for him. And when I heard that Brother Hiles said that, it spoke to my heart. And every single day I try to, and all of us should do this, try to yield to God. Yield to this Holy Spirit. You know when he's talking to you. You know when he's telling you to go that way and you go that way. You know it. You can feel it every single day of your life. When you tell that, or when you laugh at that bad joke, or when you tell that lie, you know the Holy Spirit's telling you, hey, that's not right. It's that still small voice in you. Listen, God's not going to come out of heaven and say, and open up the clouds and see all of him and say, hey, the earth needs to do this. If God were to do that, everyone would believe he's there. God doesn't want that. It is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to have faith that God is there. Hezekiah had faith that God was there, and he put his house in order. Even though Hezekiah may not have any kids, he probably had friends, people who would see his death and say, that was a man of God, or that was the drunk on the street. Hezekiah put his house in order because he put God first. And guess what God did? It says there at the end of verse 5, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And it was all because Hezekiah got alone with God and talked with God. I'm sure this, if Hezekiah would have, that would have been his first day of talking with God. I don't know what God would have done, but if he probably would not have blessed him with 15 more years. If he was a guy who thought he could live throughout the rest of his life without God, and then that one day when he says, hey, you're going to die, and he says, oh, but God, that's what the world does. They like to go to God for all their problems and stuff, but they never praise him. They never have a walk with him. They never have a talk with him. That's what the world likes to do. They'll do it. Even though they don't even believe in God, they'll still do it. It's funny to me how people say, oh, G-O-D. They don't say, oh, Muhammad. Buddha. No, they don't say that. They curse the God of heaven. Because there is a God. Everyone instilled in everyone's mind and body is that there is a God. And everyone knows that, I believe that everyone knows in the back of their mind somewhere that there is at least a higher power. Everyone knows that. Because there's no way on earth that this earth could get here without accident. I work at construction, and we put up, build several things in construction. And I look at that and I say, you know, there's not one thing on earth that God, that someone has not made or created. Nothing can happen by accident. Nothing can happen and appear and all of a sudden, boom, it's right in front of our faces. No, there has to be a creator with the creation. Because God knows you. God knows your heart. God knows your mind. God knows you. He knows what tomorrow holds. You don't. And he's trying to get, he told Hezekiah to get his house in order. Keep your house in order. God first. God is always first. Family second. Yourself last. Work last. Live for others. Do for others. Give to others. Don't always be a sponge and soak it all in. That's not what God wants you to do. Yes, it's good to, like during preachers' conference where these preachers preach, I love just soaking it in. Just soaking it in and soaking it in and soaking it in. And one time I talked with Brother Judah, Abdel Judah, the youth pastor at First Baptist Church, and I told him at camp one year, I said, I love just soaking it in and soaking it in. But we said, he told me, he said, yeah, I love soaking it in too. He said, but I love, you know what I love more? Is giving it out. Just like when you take that sponge and you dip it in that water, it soaks it all in. But when you go and you get rid of that water, you squeeze it and all that water pours out. That's what God wants for you. God wants you to take the gospel and give to others. He wants you to set your house in order by putting in first, by putting soul winning first, by putting church first, by putting Him first. He doesn't want half your heart. He doesn't want 99.9% of your heart. He wants the 100% of your heart. He wants everything. He wants all of you. Hezekiah, I believe, was a man of God who loved God and gave God everything. He didn't put God last. His house was in order because he knew that there was coming a day where he would not live. He knew it. Put your house in order because there's coming a day where you won't be on this earth anymore. Your kids will be here and you won't. Or somebody else will be here. That bus kid who you knock on their door every Saturday, that person, that visitor that you're working on every Saturday, they see that you're not there, but they remember, you know, she knocked on my door. That person knocked on my door, and I think I'm going to go visit that church. You know, it may take a lifetime for someone to get saved, but on their deathbed, they get saved. That is such a joy and a blessing to see. But get your house in order. Get it to where it's God first, family second, and yourself last. How about it tonight, Christian? Is your house in order? Is your house God first, like Hezekiah here? Because you don't want to be on your deathbed with your family saying, nope, I don't want to have anything to do with my mom. I don't want to have anything to do with my dad. They were wicked and they treated me like this. I don't want to do that. You don't want that when you're on your deathbed. You don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that for you either. But get your house in order where God's first, your family second, and God will bless you. You'll have an abundance. You may not have all the wealth and all the riches and all the fancies that the world has, but God will take care of you. God will never give you something that's over your power or your ability to overcome. You're an overcomer in Jesus Christ. You're someone who can get through those burdens and get through those trials. And Hezekiah, someone's telling him, you know, you're going to die. He got over it. He said, I'm giving it to God, and that's it. I'm giving that issue to God, and that's it. Hey, lay your heavy burden at the cross. Give that issue to God and leave it there. Don't carry it anymore. God knows what's good for you, even if it's something bad. If it's something good, that's awesome. But if you say, oh, this bad is just nothing going my way, you don't know that. God could be working it out for good behind the scenes of someone getting saved or someone surrendering their life to Christ. You don't know that. God does know that. God knows your heart. God knows your life. God knows what's in your heart. And I challenge you tonight, set your house in order just like Hezekiah did when he talked with God and he put God first. Even though he was about to die, even though he was faced with this trial, oh, I'm about to face death, but I'm going to put God first. Amen. How about you do that tonight, Christian? Put God first. Put your house in order like Hezekiah did. Let's go ahead and bow our heads.